Today we're talking about Holy Ghost power. Amen? Everybody say Holy Ghost power. In Acts 10, verse 34, we're going to start here where Peter is talking or preaching to Cornelius' household, and here's what he says. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, I perceive that God shows no partiality. He means that God has no respect of persons. He makes no difference between one or another. He loves you just like he loves me and loves me just like he loves you. In verse 35, he says, but in every nation, and how many know that every nation means every nation? Every nation of the world, whomever fears him, has a reverence and respect for him, and works righteousness, is accepted by him. And I want to say this today, as I've said before, it's by grace that we're saved. How many know that? It's nothing that we did to deserve being saved, but by grace we're saved. By grace we become the righteousness of God, but we are still empowered to live righteously. How many know that's a godly responsibility, to live righteously, to say no to the devil's junk? And we do that by grace. Verse 36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel. Now watch this very carefully. Preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. How many know that the message of the Old Testament was always pointing to Jesus? Not everybody saw it. Not everybody understood it. And even today, many Jews do not receive Jesus as the Messiah. They accept God, that God is their Father, but do not accept Jesus because He didn't come. He came in some form other than just showed up as deity. He is came in the flesh. But let's go ahead and look at this. Verse 37, that word... You know, now he's talking to the Jews primarily, but he said, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How many remember when John baptized Jesus? When John the Baptist came, Jesus was preached as a type and a shadow of the old, pointing to the real thing in the new. And John preached it. But here's what John preached. And we're going to read what John preached in just a moment. But let's look at verse 38, because this is the heart and soul of my message today. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who was a man, came in the flesh with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And he says to them, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. How many know Jesus was hung on a cross, hung on a tree, and he died for the sins of the whole world? Do you know what sins he died for? Because there were specific sins. All your past sins, all your present sins, and all your future sins. All sins he died for. Then it says, verse 40, him, Jesus, God the Father raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people, the Jews and then the church, and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. How many know that if you mess up, you can go to Jesus? Amen. And if you go to Jesus, forgiveness was released at the cross, and you can still receive of the finished work of Jesus. Jesus is our perfect example. If you're going to follow an example in life, follow Jesus. Amen. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Today I want to show you why that's significant for the church in this hour. When John the Baptist baptized Jesus, at that very moment, not the God, Son of God, Jesus, but the man, Jesus, became baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at Matthew 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, or landing upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. How many know the Father is pleased with his Son? How many understand today that if you can understand how much the Father loved His Son Jesus, then you would be able to stand how much God loves you. Because God loves you. You say, well, God's out to get me. No, God's not out to get you. God's out to help you. Some people think that God just points the finger. He's a mean God sitting on a throne with a bullwhip ready to crack you every time you messed up. Do you know why people preach that or believe that? It's because it was preached from the pulpits of America. And the truth is God's not ready to out to get you. God's out to bless you, to help you, and to strengthen you to move forward in your journey with Him. How many of you feel stuck in a rut in life? I mean, let me tell you what a rut is. You ready for this? How many ever in Missouri, when it's been raining, the ground is soggy and wet, and you drove your car, your truck through, and you left a rut? You know what a rut is? A rut is a grave with both ends kicked out. And we get in a rut. And some people stay there because in the rut is where all my emotions come alive and I can have a pity party with myself. And I just feel comfortable staying there in the rut, in the mud, in the mire. But the reality is that's the enemy trying to kill you and get rid of you. But Jesus wants to come along and rescue you if you cry out to Him. The Holy Spirit had to first descend upon the head of the church, which is Jesus, before He could come and descend upon the church in Acts chapter 2 that we read at the beginning of service. So He first landed on Jesus. First, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the church had the opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so from the text passage I read to you, Peter preaches and says how God anointed the Jesus of Nazareth, the man, with the Holy Spirit and with power. Do you understand that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost? And He was anointed with power. Also understand this, that Jesus went around doing good, the Bible says, and He went around healing all who were oppressed. How many know oppression, depression, and all those other obsessions? How many know that's just all the devil trying to mess you up? And Jesus went around setting people free from the oppression of the devil. Look what Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 says. I want you to see this with me as we go through this journey today. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, how many know He was God before He came to the earth? He left His deity, His royalty in heaven and came, was born in the Virgin Mary, born as a human being, who thought it not, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But He made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. How many know Jesus came to serve? And coming in the likeness of men. Notice men here is plural. He came in the likeness of men to experience everything that mankind could experience, yet without sin, yet without depression, yet without faltering, yet without giving up. And verse 8 says, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. How many see that this morning? Jesus, the Son of God, had to become the Son of Man so that He could be touched with the feeling and the infirmities of mankind. And in turn, the Father would be able to reach out to mankind with His love. Do you know really that's what God's after, is to love people? The church has preached to society, God's out to get you. Remember that slogan, turn or burn? If you don't come to Jesus, you're going to go to hell and burn. While that's true, that's really not a warm-up tactic to get someone to listen to you to tell them about Jesus. Hebrews 4 verse 15 and 16 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. How many understand that when we're going through some stuff, when there's hardship, when there's depressing thoughts, when there's junk going on in your life, oftentimes people do not run to Jesus? That'll just cause you trouble. If you would just say, Jesus, I need help, and then be quiet and listen. One thing Pastor Bob Capps said repeatedly this week, our regional director, as he preached on the first night, he said, sometimes people just need to shut up. Of course, he said it in a way that he could get away with it. Most people say shut up, it's taken quite offensive. It's a shut up. And after you say, help me, Jesus, it's time to shut up and listen, because the Lord wants to speak and He wants to help you. Well, I want to talk to you about letting God speak to you this morning. But first of all, let me tell you this. Jesus experienced life as a man. Someone wrote me yesterday. Yes, I still get emails and everything, you know, while I'm gone. But someone wrote me and said, if Jesus became everything that we were so that we could become everything He is, does that mean Jesus became a murderer? Someone asked me that. Did that mean Jesus become a murderer? And what scripture do you base that on? Did Jesus become a homosexual? Did Jesus become an adulterer? No, He did not do any of those things. But He had to take the sin of the murderer, the sin of the homosexual, and the sin of the adulterer, and take it to the cross. Sin had to be paid for. And let me just tell you this. God does not hate murderers, adulterers, or homosexuals. He loves them, and the church ought to love them. But God still hates the sin. Now let's bring that down to home. Among us today, we may not be murderers, homosexuals, and adulterers, but let me just ask you this. When's the last time you told a lie? Well, you say, well, it was just a little white lie. It really doesn't matter. Of course it matters. There is no big sin or no little sin. Sin is sin, isn't that right? And we have the freedom and the dominion to reign over sin. In other words, we don't have to do it. When's the last time you got angry? Let me tell you, Jesus said in the Word, one of the apostles said, be angry and sin not. How many times you got angry and you had some bad words, some degrading words, some bad thoughts coming out of your mind? What's that called? Sin. Why is that? Because anything that is not from the basis of faith is sin. And if I'm in faith with you, I'm going to believe God for God's very best in your life. I'm not going to tell you how bad you are, how big you've messed up. That's the devil's job. Do you understand the Bible says in Revelation chapter 11 that Satan is the accuser of the brethren? He comes before the throne of God accusing us day and night of all kinds of garbage. If the devil is the accuser of the church, of the Christian, then let me ask you a question. Why would you join his forces and be the accuser of someone? Don't do what the devil does, and don't say what he says. Say what God says about someone. Well, Pastor, what if it's somebody I don't like? Well, there's a $1 million question. What if it's somebody I just don't like? And the reason I don't like them is because I know they don't like me. Well, once again, let's go back to, does Jesus still love you? Does Jesus still care about you? So really, you have to come to a place of saying, then it don't matter what anybody else thinks about me. Like me, don't like me. I can tell you because of the message I preach, because of the things I believe in, because of the things we do, some pastors in this town don't like me. And that's okay. I don't have to fellowship with the whole world. Everybody doesn't have to like me, and everybody doesn't have to like you. But I can't allow myself to get drawn, suckered into some bunch of garbage that'll distract me from the assignment God's given me. Amen? All right. So Jesus experienced everything that we've experienced in our life. Now, if you've ever felt this way and said, nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Well, sure, Jesus does. Nobody knows my sorrow. Well, sure, Jesus does. What you're doing is having a self-motivated pity party, and the devil's just chiming. He's singing harmony to what you're saying. So the truth is, we need to say what Jesus said and recognize that Jesus loves us. How many of you are 100% or nearly 100% convinced that Jesus loves you today? Amen. I'm telling you, God loves me, and if anybody gets jealous over the fact that God loves me, tough. He loves me. He loves you too. Amen. And I just tell people, you know what? I'm God's favorite. Well, you know what? We're all God's favorite because He doesn't show any partiality. Amen. So God loves people. He is for you, not against you. I want to tell you that today. He's not trying to take anything from you, but He's trying to get things to you because He loves you. Amen? Now notice in Acts 10:38, we're going to read this a couple of more times at least this morning, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And here's what He did with that anointing. He went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I want to tell you something today. When you got born again, there was something else God wanted you to do. God wanted you to go on to the next level and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, that means talking in that goofy language. The Bible said that we could speak in the tongues of men and of angels. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the Bible says? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Okay, we're good at speaking in the tongues of men. Matter of fact, speaking in the tongues of men, we say some stuff we shouldn't say. How many know that's right? We can also speak in the tongues of angels. And what that means is speaking in tongues. And if you and I spoke in tongues more, we would not blow our mouth off as much as we do. Okay, I want you to see that this morning. Now, the upside of the ministry of Jesus was this. God was with him, and God is with you. You know, if you are a person that says, you know, I just feel alone, can I tell you that's utterly an impossibility? You cannot be alone. Even if the whole world deserts you, God is with you, just like he was with Jesus. Do you know what the priority of Jesus' ministry was, number one? That was to preach the good news. Did you know that when he preached the gospel, the word gospel is translated good news? He preached the good news. Isn't it amazing how much bad news we've heard from the pulpits of America? Bad news. I know there's stuff out there like Obamacare. I know there's stuff out there like everybody saying the world's going to come to the end and they're going to kill a bunch of people off and we're going to have communism and the Muslims are going to take over and... You know what? Let me tell you something. As long as I have given God control of my life, and I understand that God has given me charge of this earth, can I tell you that the devil's not going to take over? But I want to tell you also why it's so bad. Because many of you, along with us, are going through some hard times, worse than you've ever gone through. I want to tell you why. Because the devil has been running rampant on people's lives, and he's trying to make it as hard as he can so that people will give up, because we're about to break out into an end time revival that's going to usher in the coming and the presence of the Lord. Amen. It's time, church. It's time. Jesus was anointed to preach the good news. He was also anointed to heal the sick and to deliver the oppressed. I want to tell you something else. Because he was anointed, you are anointed. Did you know that you are anointed to preach good news? Well, now, Pastor, I'm not a preacher. All right, let's change it. Let's just change it for another word that preach actually means, proclaim. You are anointed to proclaim good news. Well, who am I going to proclaim it to? When I was 9 years old, I knew I was called to preach. I preached to passing cars and bushes out front and the cat and the dog and everybody. I just preached. What was it? I just call that practice. If you're not used to telling people about Jesus, get in front of your mirror and tell yourself about Jesus. How many got a big mirror? Big enough. Get in front of that thing and get to preaching to yourself. Tell yourself about Jesus. Practice and then go tell somebody about Jesus. It's not hard. Do you know the way to start a witnessing session with someone? Tell them, did you know Jesus loves you? If they say, oh yes, I'm born again. I know Jesus loves me. My heart is right with God. Go on to the next. Did you know Jesus loves you? Well, no, nobody ever told me that before. Well, I want to tell you just how much Jesus loves you. He came and His Father sent Him to die on a cross for you so that you could have eternal life with Him in glory. It's not hard. It's easy. So proclaim the good news. The second thing He said to do was to heal the sick. You are anointed, church, to heal the sick and to deliver the oppressed that Satan has brought on people in the form of bondage. Now notice 1 John 4 verse 17 in the Amplified. In this union and communion with Him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face Him, because as He is, so are we in this world. Many people would take out of this scripture and think, okay, I don't know if I can face God because I messed up this morning. As a matter of fact, I've been messing up for weeks now. I don't know if I can face God. Let me tell you something. You need to run to God and say, help me, Lord, I messed up. You say, well, that's too easy. It's not supposed to be hard. The church has made it hard. You need to run to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry I messed up. I receive Your forgiveness. And the Bible says that You will cleanse me of all unrighteousness. You know what that means in 1 John 1, 9? It means that He will cleanse you of all the moral consequences that took place when you sinned. Would never tell a murderer that you're cleansed of all the moral consequences of your sin if you repent. And tell them you don't have to go to jail. How many know they still go to jail? I'd rather go to jail and then end up in heaven than to live in this world free and on my way to hell. This scripture is telling us that we are to be like Him and we are to do as He did. Notice the next verse, Ephesians 5 verse 1, also from the Amplified. Therefore be imitators of God. Copy Him and follow His example as well-beloved children imitate their father. How many know we as parents would prefer our children do not imitate some of the things we do? I mean, we've all been there. Oh man, I hope my kids don't do that. We often say, well, you know, in the ministry, especially as a pastor's kid, you know what we'd say when someone said, well, look what your kids are doing. We just tell them we learned it from the deacon's kids. I mean, we always want to blame what our kids do on somebody else, but for all practical intents and purposes, they learn stuff from their parents. Now, how many know when they become adults, then we have the right to choose to be what God has chosen for us to be? He said we're to imitate God. He said we're to copy Him and follow His example. How many of you believe that God is our example, that Jesus came in the flesh to be our example? If you believe that, then the Bible says you're supposed to copy Him and do what He does. What did Jesus do? Well, if somebody had a demon in him, He commanded the demon to go. If somebody was dead, He told him to get up and be raised. Come forth. You know that's happening in countries all around the world. The dead are being raised. I read about it all the time. What else did Jesus do? He caused blind scales to fall off of blind eyes and the blind saw. In our ministry, we have seen the blind, that blind people to see. We've seen people that wore glasses and couldn't see very well, their eyes completely clear up. I'm one of those. We've seen people with crooked bones and bones straighten out. Cancers go. Broken bones healed. We've seen all of that. The reality is, Jesus said, go do what He did. Copy Him. You say, well, Pastor, I really don't know how. How many of you got a Bible? Come on now, alright? How many actually read your Bible? Alright? Get your Bible out. I'll just tell you this. Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read what Jesus did. Then from there, go to Acts and on and find out what the apostles did to imitate or copy Jesus. I also want to tell you something else, and this is for somebody today. I knew this when I prepared this. You don't have to be perfect to live for Jesus. I have testified to so many people in my 41 years of adult ministry who have told me, said, I'm not good enough to come to Jesus. Let me go get some stuff fixed, then I'll come back and I'll come to Jesus. Do you know what happens in those people's lives? As a rule, they never come to Jesus. You don't have to be perfect to come to Jesus, and you can't get good enough, clean enough to come to Him. It takes His blood to wash you white as snow. Amen? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Here's something else. You don't have to be perfect to do what Jesus did. If you got angry this morning and you laid hands on the sick this afternoon and they got healed, that would be proof enough that you don't have to be perfect to do what Jesus did. It's because He's the one doing it, and it's you that is simply obeying His Word. How many know we're commanded to obey the Word? Here's the problem with obeying the Word. The devil will send your head on a mind game saying, you're not good enough. You're not worthy. I don't have to be worthy. I'm made worthy by the blood of Jesus, but the Lamb has been made worthy, and I am seated in Him and He's in me. It's through the sacrifice of Jesus that you've been made righteous or perfected in Him while He's still working on us. How many believe and understand that God's still working on you? You know, the Bible said this in Philippians 1 verse 6, said, you can be confident of this very thing, that He that's begun a good work in you will perform it until the end. In other words, He hadn't given up on you. Quit giving up on yourself. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. Everybody else puts me down. Everybody else gives up on me. And I just have a big so what to that. So what? Do you know there's people, and they could be related to you. I've got family. I told someone yesterday, I said, you know what? I spoke to family. I said, you know what? I know I'm not very accepted in my family, and I'm okay with that. Because my focus is Jesus. If you don't like what I preach, so what? My focus is Jesus. I'm not going to be mean about it, be rude about it. But the reality is, my focus is Jesus. And that's what I want your focus to be, is on Jesus. Amen? How many know this? Unless you're different than I am, sickness is oppressing. How many ever got sick and said, praise the Lord, I got the flu? How dumb is that? I mean, really. Nobody likes sickness. Sickness is oppressing. And the Bible said that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Are oppression and sickness the same? Sickness will make you oppressed, and it's from the devil. We're almost done. Hang with me. How many know this? I want to speak to somebody today. Being in lack will bring depression. It'll cause people to become discouraged to the point of giving up, saying, why try? Anybody ever said that? Why try? What's the use? I'm glad when Jesus was going to the cross, He didn't say, why try? What's the use? It's too hard. How many ever seen the movie, the Passion of the Christ? I'm telling you, all you got to do is watch that movie one time, whether it's in Latin or in English, and watch that movie one time and see what Jesus did and what opportunities you might have taken to give up in the process. I'd have gave up when they started hitting me. Oh, stop. I'm done. Well, I'm not Jesus. That wasn't my assignment. It was His. How many glad Jesus fulfilled His assignment? Amen. And you know why He did it? For us. Praise the Lord. Being sick is not encouraging. It is designed by Satan to pull you down from the position of victory into the position of fear and defeat. But God anointed Jesus to preach the good news, and God's anointed you to preach the good news. God anointed Jesus to heal the sick, and God's anointed you to heal the sick. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever just been so sick you couldn't hardly stand it and nobody was around, and you thought, if I could just get to the phone and call my pastor, I just, everything, you know what? Why don't you just take your hand and lay it on yourself and say, in the name of Jesus, sickness, get out of my body. I receive healing and wholeness. I receive the will of God for me now. And when you say it, act like you believe it. Act like you mean it. Say it with authority. One guy said, every time sickness tried to come, I just get on my bed and jump up and down and scream at the devil. Say, well, I'd never do that. I might disturb the. I'd rather disturb the neighbors and be healed if that's what it took. Amen? Some people aren't willing to do whatever it takes. Notice Acts 1:8 as we come to an end today. A few more scriptures I want to show you. We'll cut some things out. He said, but you shall receive power when, or the King James says, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, I want you to understand this. When Jesus died and went into the belly of the earth, you can see this in the latter two or three chapters of Matthew. That night when Jesus rose from the dead, there were graves that were opened and people came out. What happened to those people? How many know that Jesus almost immediately ascended into heaven? All those people went with him. They got born again in the belly of the earth. That place Catholics call paradise. There is a place called paradise. And it's done away with now, but it was the holding place for all the old covenant saints who died before Jesus had shed his blood. They're all born again now. I imagine none of them said, no, just leave me here. No. Yes, Jesus, we receive your sacrifice. And they all resurrected and went to heaven. And Jesus came back down, and for 40 days he spent with the disciples up to this point in time. I'm telling you about in Acts 1 verse 8. And he said, now that you're born again, here's the next step. Now watch this. He said, but you shall receive power, not before, but after, or when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Notice the rendering in the New Living Translation. But when the Holy Spirit comes to you, you will receive power. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, in Samaria, and in every part of the world. Well, let's go right to the Amplified. But you shall receive power. Notice this. It means ability, efficiency, and might. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds or boundaries of the earth. The Holy Spirit has come. The Holy Spirit's not going to come again. The Holy Spirit has come. He came to empower the church. And you can receive the power that I've been preaching about this morning. After you're born again, then the Holy Spirit, or you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you become empowered to operate in the authority of the Holy Spirit and the authority of the name of Jesus. You become Holy Ghost filled. You receive power. Now, this same Holy Spirit, and I'm going to skip over these scriptures. You can read them later today if you would, please. This same Holy Spirit, this same Holy Ghost power that was on Peter when the sick were laid in the streets so that even his shadow fell upon them. And you can see that in Acts 5, verse 15 and 16. Can you imagine someone actually believing what I'm preaching today, and they're walking around, even their shadow just falls on people, and they just get healed? Have you ever been in a situation where you knew you were believing God for some sinner's healing, and they just walked by you, and all of a sudden they said, whoa, the pain's gone. You say, what is that? It's you releasing Holy Ghost anointing to someone that really didn't know there was Holy Ghost anointing. They may not acknowledge God in that moment, but I'll tell you what a divine opportunity to say, hey, you know what just happened to you? Jesus touched you with Holy Ghost anointing. Praise the Lord. All right, now, remember that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost. Everybody say, anointed with the Holy Ghost. Notice also that the source of sickness was the devil. All sickness comes from Satan, never from God. I want to show you one more place. In Acts 19, verse 12. Healing comes to the church through being anointed with Holy Ghost power. The anointing of the Holy Spirit brings power. I'll just read verse 12 and you can look at 9 and 12. I believe it's in a different translation. But it said they took, verse 12, so they took handkerchiefs, As a matter of fact, I happen to have one. I don't have an apron. I have a barbecue apron, but it's packed away somewhere. They took handkerchiefs and aprons from Paul's body. What that means is he was preaching and them handkerchiefs were tucked away here and there. How many know what he did when he was preaching? Probably what I'm doing right now. He sweat. Oh, he sweat. And that sweat saturated handkerchiefs and aprons. And the Bible said they were from his body. They were given to the sick and the diseases left them and evil spirits went out from them. Think about that. Just from the sweat of his body, he's preaching and getting sweaty. Really, so I imagine it was really hot that day and his handkerchief just saturated with sweat and they gave him to put him on sick folks and they were healed and evil spirits departed. You say, well, I would never do that. How many ever received an anointed prayer cloth? I've got some to this day from when I was bedfast. Tuck them in my pillow. Keep them in my wallet. Keep them on my body all the time. I've kept them with me. Churches from other states send them to me. When sick people were touched with the articles of his clothing, saturated with Paul's sweat, people saw diseases and evil spirits leave bodies. I'd imagine what Christians today would say, yuck, don't touch me with that. Do you know that God has many methods for healing? Who cares how it comes? I mean, seriously, folks, I want you to hear this. Who cares how it comes just as long as it comes? What if God spoke to you and said, I want you to take that cloth, that handkerchief to church, and I want you to have everybody pray over that. Have your pastor and all the leaders, everybody just lay hands on that and anoint it with oil. I'm going to go to a hospital. I know there's a crippled man. A crippled woman, a baby that's near death. I'm going to take that prayer cloth to them. And you say, take a sweaty prayer cloth, an anointed prayer cloth, take a handkerchief. People blow their nose on them things. Did God say do it? If God said do it, you bring it, we anoint it, and you take it to them. Say, now what if I can't get it to that child? Because you know ICU and hospital rules. Give it to mom or dad. Make a point of contact to release the anointing. See, some people have just quit believing in miracles. Some people just quit believing that God still does miracles today. If you really believe that, you ought to be here Wednesday night because I'm going to talk about that some more. All right, let's finish up this morning. I know that being baptized in the Holy Ghost means speaking in tongues. I know that it means being filled with power. I know that it means doing things that you couldn't do before. I know that being Holy Ghost filled with power is the Greek word dunamis, means dynamite, dynamo, dynamic. I mean, it also means miracle working ability or the ability to perform miracles. You say, well, how do I know that? Well, get spirit filled and go test it out. When you pray in tongues, here's what happens. When you're going through a hard time particularly, and you just go pray in tongues for a while. You say, how long, Pastor? I don't know. An hour won't kill you. But if you think it will, try 15 minutes, 30 minutes. Pray in tongues. All of a sudden, there'll be a sense of the burden lifting. The problem just don't mean anything anymore. And you're saying, God, we can do this. I can get up out of this place. And I can move forward. In that time, God may speak to you. If God speaks to you, here's the only wisdom that I have for you. Obey what He says. If God speaks to you, do what He says. It's important. Sometimes when you're in prayer, you ought to just get quiet and just listen. How many know it's rude for two people to talk in the same conversation at the same time? So be quiet and listen. God will speak to you. You mean God will speak to me? Yes, God will speak to you. And when He does, obey Him. If you need a breakthrough today, I'm telling you, that can be remedied. There's no waiting period when you need the Holy Spirit to help you. You don't have to wait in line for a miracle. All you need to do is receive Him by faith. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. I want to challenge you today. We're going to pray. And I don't know, we could lay hands on you if you wanted us to. But how many know that once you get born again, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven? Isn't that a great feeling? We preachers call that fire insurance. You know, I ain't going there, but I'm going there. But there's more. God doesn't want you just to live in life. God wants you to live an overcoming, abundant life and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God is no respecter of persons. What He's done for one, He'll do for all. And you can receive Him today. Did this help anybody today?